The Alex Goldstein Property Show. Stray FM.
Welcome again to the Alex Goldstein Property Show, the only property show on Stray FM. We aim to solve all your property questions, queries and quibbles with a show that is chock full of useful tips, tricks and industry expert information. If you need that property fix, then connect with the Alex Goldstein social media accounts to get the very best property advice whenever you need it. In this month's show, we will be getting the inside track from Evans International Removals and Gold Standard Decorators. We also discuss whether joint agency is the best option, and of course we have the Alex Goldstein top tips. We're brimming with top information as always, so we're straight on with it.
Property news with Alex Goldstein.
Stray FM.
This month we're discussing whether estate agents are actually worth their money. We constantly hear in the news today how an established business sector has succumbed to the age of the internet. And the estate agency sector has obviously long been involved with the emergence of the internet. Alongside the established high street branches are now a new breed of online and hybrid agents. These new startups market themselves as doing everything that the high street guys do, but for a fraction of the price. Now, what's not to like? They're passing the saving on to you, the customer, because after all, let's face it, estate agency is just about taking some great photographs, placing it on Rightmove, and sitting back whilst the viewing pour in. Right. That is completely wrong. Putting a property online is only a small fraction of the story, and let's face it, anyone can upload anything to a website nowadays. So what are you paying for when you go to a high street agent, and why this price difference? As I think of it, it's a common misconception that an estate agent's fee is just put towards marketing and flash offices, which is what the online and hybrid agents would have you believe. But getting a property marketed and under offer, that is actually the easy bit. The real work and value comes once an offer is made, ultimately leading to what actually matters, and that's exchange of contracts. That is the key to great estate agency. Like myself, many of the established high street agents have spent years on the job. We instinctively know how to read a situation, manage people's emotions, and predict what issues could occur before they actually crop up. Being face to face with a buyer or a seller is crucial in helping to avoid and preempt problems down the line. Property at the end of the day, it's a people business, and good estate agents never lose sight of this, being proactive for their client right up until the point of exchange. As a recent client of mine said to me the other week, online hybrid agents, they can find you a buyer, but after that you're very much on your own. Your sale is passed to a large faceless call centre where conversations are scripted, your file is flipped around between several teams, and they don't know who you are. So if there's a problem, you're probably going to find out too late, and there's very little on-hand support to help you deal with it. And all this comes after you've already paid them, because some online agents take their commission from you up front, so their incentive to keep working on your behalf completely vanishes. For most of us, our house is our most valuable asset. We invest time, love and energy creating a home that we treasure. We work tirelessly towards the day many of us dream of, that hallowed moment when we pay off our final mortgage instalment. And when we come to sell our homes, we hope our efforts are going to be handsomely rewarded. And whilst there's certainly a market for the online hybrid agents, the key to great estate agency is being personally on hand, visible, experienced, and proactive. Currently, as I see it, the high street agents have this corner covered, but time will of course tell. It's great to have Robert Crossman from Gold Standard Decorators here in the studio with me. And I often sum Robert up. He's the only decorator I know that listens, dare I say, to Classic FM. And that is all you need to know about the guy. Great to have you here, Robert. Thank you for coming in. I suppose getting straight into it, when it comes to selling your home, I think a lot of thought goes into colour schemes. What is actually best? Because I think the media say one thing, you've probably got a completely different angle on it all as well. But just talk everyone through your thinking.
Well, you do have to go neutral. You might love aquamarine, you might love aubergine, but the chances are people looking to buy your home won't. So go a neutral colour. My preference these days, and it's definitely on the upper curve of the designer chart, is an off-white with a grey tint. looks chic, looks clean, doesn't stand out as being yellow like magnolia might, for example. And people can see the size of the rooms much better in a lighter paint than a darker paint.
What's the issue in your eyes with just going white? Because again, a lot of the TV, a lot of the newspapers say, well, you know what, take everything out, paint it white, and away you go. What's wrong with that in your eyes?
Well, if you have a grand design style contemporary home, you'll probably already be white, so that would be good. If you're a Victorian semi, then white wasn't, and in my opinion, generally has never been a colour of choice for people in period properties. And white all over might suggest that the owners have slapped on a quick coat of emulsion very quickly to hide all sorts of goodness knows what. Rather than thought out a sensible colour scheme as the grey that I'm suggesting, Alex.
And you've obviously seen a lot of properties like myself. What do you advise in terms of presenting your room when it comes to selling? What would you say to homeowners?
Well, you have to remember that somebody looking at your home isn't going to comment on what a wonderful colour scheme you have, how gorgeous your furniture is, how super the carpets are in oatmeal or beige. They're going to pick up the clutter, the untidiness, the uncleanliness, and any crack, crevice, hole or scuff mark they will definitely see. So all of those have got to go. You've got to declutter, you've got to clean, and although it's time-consuming, a quick decorate throughout will resolve all of those issues, and it won't take you that much longer than a good deep clean, and will probably add significantly to the value of your property.
You mentioned about, I suppose, hairline cracks and sort of plasterwork defection. Sometimes you sort of get pitting. What do you do from a decorating perspective? How can you get around this?
Well, everybody will have heard, of course, the secret to a good decorating job is preparation. And that's broadly true. I normally think that a decorating job, you're going to spend days on the prep and hours on the paint. So pitting's got to be rubbed, cracks have to be gouged out, filled, sanded, and if need be, repeat the process.
And what people often want to, I suppose, add value to their kitchen. It's very much something that's a hot topic. Do they replace the kitchen, or can they add value to the kitchen in another way? What are your thoughts when it comes to kitchens?
Well, in the old days, people used to say that the kitchen probably added more value to your home than just about anything else in the home. In my experience, these days, people who buy a property will almost certainly rip out the kitchen, whatever it is, whether it's high-end, middle-end or low-end. So I certainly wouldn't recommend replacing the kitchen. If it's looking a bit battered and a bit worn, you can certainly smarten it up. There are primers available today that stick to anything: glass, formica, metal.
So plastic.
Yep, and then onto that you can paint whatever finish and whatever colour you like, and it'll make it look clean and respectable. And the people who buy the house almost certainly will rip it out anyway.
Quite, but it's just there, I suppose, for initial presentation purposes.
It just stops them being hit with a big negative.
So it's often a bit of a hot topic in the decorating world. Dare I say, you've got the brands out there. You've got the Farrow & Boulds at the very high end. You've got the Duluxes, and you've got the trade paints at the more value end. What is the actual difference? Is there much? And you can obviously colour match, but how do you see it?
In terms of quality of paint, I don't suppose there's a massive difference. Farrow and Ball make claims about the quality of their paint. Most professional decorators don't particularly like using Farrow and Ball, mainly because often you have to three coat.
Right.
It does have a super finish, though. It's absolutely dead flat matte, which gives an almost chalky-like appearance. Not practical if you have pets or children, because it can't be washed. The trade paints like Johnston's, Leyland's, Dulux are all good quality paints. And as all your listeners will know, Alex, paint is a solid suspended in a liquid, either solvent-based or increasingly these days water-based. The liquid evaporates, leaving the solid behind. And the solids, generally speaking these days, are vinyl or plastic. So when you see vinyl matte, the water in the paint will evaporate off, leaving a thin skin of vinyl. which is durable, washable, and protects the surfaces. Dry is almost completely flat matte. It doesn't have a sheen. And I would recommend to anybody who still thinks that a shiny paint on the walls looks good, it doesn't. Go matte.
Well, what about windowsills and skirting board? Because that used to be the fashion of doing
gloss
on it.
Most people still, when they're looking at a decorating scheme, think the ceilings have to be brilliant white matte emulsion. All of the woodwork has to be brilliant white gloss. It doesn't, and it shouldn't. Depending on the colour scheme you're going for, you can paint all of the wood and the walls the same colour, which will make the room look bigger. And on the wood, my preference certainly, and I think most homeowners' preferences, would be for eggshell. It's a nice, flattish finish. It doesn't put a spotlight on all of the imperfections that you're going to get, particularly in older homes where you've got dents and signs of decades and generations of repair and redecoration to the wood. And it gives a nice matte finish. But your listeners should think about being adventurous here and forego the white gloss on the wood. Go for the same colour on the wooden walls. Try one room, see what you think. It always looks fantastic, in my opinion.
And people often, I suppose, go to all the big DIY shops. They think it's all fairly straightforward. With your experience, why would you disagree with that? What are you putting in with your sort of time that you've done in the trade?
As opposed to people DIYing or getting a decorator? Well, I mean, some DIYers are perfectly competent. I mean, I see a lot of houses where the DIY work has been terrific. I see more where it's terrible. You've got to get paint on the surface that it's supposed to go on and on nothing else. Clean lines between paint colours, for example. Blemishes shouldn't be visible. Cracks, blisters, holes shouldn't be visible. People looking to buy a house will see all of these things. And a quick slap over of a paint to hide badly prepared surfaces won't fool anybody. You've got to do a decent job. And it is worth getting a decorator in. It'll be a few hundred pounds you might not want to spend, but it won't give your possible purchaser the opportunity to knock something off your asking price, because the first thing they're going to do is redecorate when they get in.
Quite, and I guess that's one of your sort of cardinal sins with your experience in terms of, as you said, don't cut a corner with the decorations, and as you earlier said, it's all about the preparation work.
Yeah, it is. I have done a number of houses for customers where the house has been on the market. They've not been able to sell. We've gone in and we've redecorated top to bottom, and it's sold within a few weeks after that. It does make a huge difference, and for, relatively speaking, a minimal outlay, it's definitely worth doing.
And what's your, out of interest, what's your biggest frustration with other decorators within the industry? Because I suppose it's got a bit more of a mixed reputation, if you like.
Generally, and it is a sweeping generalisation here, tradesmen in the main can be pretty untidy, and when you're working in somebody's home, they do expect you to treat it with respect. And tidying up as you go around is a simple thing to do.
Yeah. And when it comes to redecorating a room, finally, what are the Robert Crossman gold standard top tips when it comes to that?
Clear your room out, and if you're looking to decorate in order to help the sales process, then don't be tempted to go for daft colours. Just pick a nice neutral. As I say, something in the grey spectrum is definitely in and is chic. You can be adventurous, paint the wood the same colour as the walls, as I've said. You don't have to go completely crazy and strip off every bit of paper and put up another bit of paper and paint over that. But blemishes that are visible to you will be visible to your purchaser. So make sure you deal with those. If you're just doing a redecoration for yourself and you're not looking to sell your house, then when you've cleared everything out of that room, go for a different colour scheme. Don't put everything back that you've just taken out. Take that opportunity to declutter. Maybe even look at changing a few little bits of furniture. These days you can buy side tables, lamp tables, lamps, things like that, because the furniture of a room isn't just what you sit on. It's what you put books in and lamps on, and the lighting in a room is crucial as well. And all of that is affordable.
Some great top tips there, Robert. Thank you very much. And if people wanted to reach you, what is the best contact details for you?
rcrossman@btinternet.com or 07793807991.
Fantastic, Robert. Thanks so much indeed for coming in.
My pleasure, Alex. Thank you.
The Property Hospital. Stray FM.
The Property Hospital is all about me answering your property woes and worries when it comes to your experiences in the property sector. This week, I'm answering a question from Nathan, who had this to say.
Alex, I'm currently on the market with my second agent and I'm contemplating moving to a third agent. Is this worthwhile doing?
In short, Nathan, just be careful. It strikes me, albeit on the face of it, that there could be an underlying issue. Just question yourself if your home is presented at its best, priced correctly, and the marketing material looks good. Now, with experience, moving to a third agent can send out completely the wrong message to the market. And with the age of the internet, buyers can obtain a lot of sales history about a property instantly. Third agent move, it could indicate that you're desperate to sell, or indeed you can't sell, neither of which you wish to draw overtly to the market's attention. One possible option is whether you actually bring in a joint agent, and this is a much more subtle way of getting in this third agent. But do ensure this new agent is very different to the existing one. You don't want to be doubling up on efforts, but it's more a case of filling in any gaps. Bringing in a third agent, or indeed a joint agent, should be thought through very carefully indeed. And I'll touch base with you just to ensure it's actually the right option for you.
The Property Hot Seat. Stray FM. Name.
Val Evans.
Business.
Evans International Limited.
Years experience.
12 years.
Great to have Val here in the studio with me. And just to get a real insight and feel for the home removers business sector. Val, just sort of kicking things off. I mean, a lot of removals. It's a very stressful time. What are you actually doing that's different? There's a lot of removers out there, but how do you set yourself apart?
Yeah, well, here at Evans International, we actually pride ourselves right from the very first call that we make to you on the pre-move survey is to make sure that we're looking after your needs as the person who we are moving. We move people every single day, so therefore the mechanics of the move to us simple and straightforward. But what I like to pride myself in is to actually take care of you, the person who is moving house, because your needs can be very different to the person that we moved yesterday or the person that we move in tomorrow.
So in terms of if it's an elderly couple or indeed, I don't know, a young family, I guess you will be a bit of a chameleon and react accordingly.
Yes, we certainly do. We find that we get quite a lot of recommendations for families who now live quite away from their elderly parents. And if a significant person dies or they have to move into a care home, then often the family could be either abroad or at the other end of the country. So they like to feel that there is somebody close to the family that can actually help that person and be there for that person to help them move house and look after their personal needs. We automatically look after moving the effects, but what we also have to deal with is the emotions and the stresses and strains that that person's going through. And that's where I feel, as a lady in the industry, I can actually really come into my own.
It's a very valid point, Val, because being a lady in the removal sector must be incredibly rare. I mean, dare I say, how many have you come across ladies within the industry?
Yes, we are quite a rare breed, and especially a lady like myself who prides herself in being able to do all aspects of what happens within a removal. My philosophy in business has always been, I will never ask somebody to do something that either I can't or won't do myself.
So it's a woman's touch, which is unusual, very unusual in that business.
It is.
And what do when people come to sell, what do they really need to be aware of? When you're looking for quotes from a removal company, it's very easy, especially on the estate agency side, you can get easily hoodwinked into sort of going one way or another. Are there things that people should look out for when they're getting removal companies out for the first time?
Yes, certainly. I think one of the most important things that you need to do when you are getting a quote from a removal company, and this can start right at the first visit, the pre-move survey, when a member of the removal company will come out and visit your home and run through with you what it is that there is to move. That's an important part because we need to assess the number of staff and the size of vehicles and also the service that you require from us. And I think the most important part for you as the customer is you need to be comfortable with the person that is in your house. You need to have faith that what that person is telling you is that they are going to look after you and look after your possessions in a manner in which you want it doing.
Because how does it work? Because it's not necessarily just a case of pick up all the goods and throw them in a box or give them over to Alex and I pack it myself. What are the ins and outs and what do you sort of offer?
Well, as a removal company, and especially Evans International, we can offer anything from just providing you with all of the packing materials and you do your own packing. There's a very popular packing service, which is what we call a fragile-only packing service. That means that you pack anything that is not breakable and we come in and pack everything that is. Or the one that I was always promote, because it is the one that takes the strain completely and utterly off the customer, is just let us come in and do it all. It will take us maybe a day or 2 days to pack all of your goods, whereas it will take you weeks.
What are your top tips when you come to move home and sort of getting the removals lined up? Is there anything that you'd advise people to do in advance or to be aware of?
At the end of the day, we need to remember that actually moving house can be a very, very stressful time. But it is also one of the rare things in life that has to be done on that day. There is no movement. If you're moving, you're moving on that day. And everything else has to fall into place. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we're ready. Because if you have packed yourself, then basically that's what you need to have done. You need to make sure that all your things are boxed up nicely and are presentable and ready for the removers when they come in. If we do the packing service, then of course we will naturally do that and we'll make sure that we are clear of the house in time for the other removal to be able to come in and unload the truck that's waiting outside. And you need to talk to the person that's doing the pre-move survey and ask them at what level they are insured at, because we all have different levels of insurance.
Yeah.
Also, you need to make sure that there is things in place when accidents do happen, because there's no removal company around that can ever say that they've done something and they've never damaged a piece of furniture or something hasn't gone wrong, because accidents do happen.
They do. It's the way it goes.
It is, unfortunately. So what we like to do is we need to make sure that we basically correct that, and we can either do it by repairing if it's just a polished surface that has got a scratch mark on it,
Yeah. Then
basically we can get that polished out, or we can replace or just do whatever needs to be done.
Got you. And how we're moving on to, so I suppose, the more international side of things, which obviously the clue's in the name, as they say, with Evans International. But how does that actually work in terms of logistics and shipping if I'm going to move, say, to, I don't know, Australia or Europe? How on earth do you actually bring all of those different threads together?
Well, it's very different moving to Europe. Well, it is at the moment. Yeah, the jury's out on that one. But anyway, so we'll move swiftly on. So within Europe, as it would be today, then basically it would be our vehicle and our staff that prepare all of your furniture and move you to Europe. So within Europe, that actually stays in-house. If you're moving to Australia, as much as I would like to be that constant or consistent person,
you might even have a holiday. Yeah.
Then unfortunately, one, I don't want to travel in the shipping container all the way to Australia. But what we would do is we then work with a reputable shipping company. And because we've been in business now for quite some time, 12 years, then we know who we like to work with. So we work with a shipping company and we prepare all the goods for shipment in the UK. We then engage with the container, and Then the shipping company then takes over and appoints a reputable removal company at the point of destination, and they take over from there.
Val, it's been really interesting indeed. Thank you very much. If people want to sort of reach you and talk it through and all their issues with regard to moving, what are the best way to get hold of you?
The best way to get hold of me is to just pick up the phone, because I am one of those people where I prefer to talk to you face to face than through emails. So whatever you do, just pick up that phone and call me on 01765 640 882 and ask to speak to Val.
Fantastic. Val, thank you very much indeed.
Alex Goldstein's top tip.
When you have any works done at your home, keep all invoices and especially any guarantees in a specific folder. This may well sound obvious, but I tell you, the number of times I've had transactions renegotiated or even fall through because the homeowner was unable to lay their hands on some appropriate certificate never ceases to amaze me. Whilst you can often secure these retrospectively, the amount of time this takes can be onerous. If you keep work invoices, guarantees, warranties, building regulation certificates, planning details, etc., all together, then you know you will never have an issue when you come to sell. You simply just hand over the entire folder to your conveyancing solicitor. Job done. That's the Alex Goldstein Property Show, and yet again brimming with top tips and features. If you need expert information, videos and up-to-the-minute property news, then head over to the website alexgoldstein.co.uk. The next episode is out in the first week of January, so make sure you tune in for that. Until next time.